Welcome to Cyber IQ Weekly, your briefing on the week's most critical regulatory and compliance developments. I'm Alex, and joining me as always is our lead analyst, Sarah.
Good to be here, Alex. This week has been particularly eventful, with significant shifts in cybersecurity requirements and a clear escalation in regulatory enforcement across multiple jurisdictions.
Indeed. Let's dive straight into what's perhaps the biggest news for our U.S. listeners, the Pentagon's surprising decision regarding the Cybersecurity Maturity Model certification. Sarah, what exactly happened with CMMC Phase 2?
Alex, the Department of War announced on July 13th the immediate suspension of CMMC Phase 2 requirements. This means the November 10th Certified Third-Party Assessor Organization, or C3PAO, assessment mandate that 120,000 defense suppliers have been preparing for has been canceled. An implementing memorandum, 26P-1023, now prohibits Level 2 C3PAO and Level 3 Defense Industrial-Based Cybersecurity Assessment Center designations during the suspension.
That sounds like a huge relief for many. But what does the suspension actually mean? Is CMMC entirely gone? Not at all. It's crucial to understand what survives. Phase 1 self-assessment requirements, which have been in place since November 2025, remain firmly in effect. The department will continue to enforce the National Institute of Standards and Technology Special Publication 800-171 Revision 2 through self-assessments and select government-led assessments. Furthermore, every contractor and subcontractor is still contractually bound by Defense Federal Acquisition Regulation Supplement Clause 252-204-7012 to safeguard covered defense information. This is an exercise of acquisition discretion over which clauses go into contracts, not a repeal of the underlying rule.
So, what's the immediate action for defense suppliers?
First, pause any discretionary C3PAO engagement spend. Second, check every active solicitation and contract for Level 2, C3PAO, or Level 3, DI BigCAC designations. Contracting officers are now required to amend these, but you'll want to proactively engage them. Most importantly, keep your NIST SP 800-171 Revision 2 self-assessment, supplier performance risk score, and system security plan current. This is the surviving enforcement baseline. There's also a CMMC reform request for information that closes on August 14th, which could be an opportunity to provide input.
Thank you, Sarah. Moving from policy shifts to concrete enforcement, it seems regulators globally are making their presence felt. We saw several significant fines this week.
That's right, Alex. Enforcement stopped being theoretical this week. In the UK, Ofcom, the communications regulator, issued its largest age assurance fine yet. It fined a provider £600,000 for failing to deploy highly effective age assurance, plus another £30,000 for ignoring a statutory information request. This totals £630,000. The Information Commissioner's Office, or ICO, also took action, fining two home improvement companies a combined £370,000 under the Privacy and Electronic Communications Regulations for making nuisance calls targeting vulnerable people.
And the European Union also made a strong move regarding the Network and Information Security 2 Directive, NIS2, correct?
Absolutely. The European Commission asked the Court of Justice of the European Union to impose a lump sum plus daily penalties on Ireland, Spain, France, and the Netherlands. This action comes more than 20 months past the October 17, 2024 deadline for transposing the NIS2 directive into national law. This is a very clear signal that the Commission is serious about member states meeting their obligations.
Shifting gears to cloud oversight, the UK has made a notable move regarding hyperscalers. What's the significance of this?
On July 10th, His Majesty's Treasury made its first designations under the Financial Services and Markets Act 2023 Critical Third Parties regime. Amazon Web Services EMEA SARL, Google Cloud EMEA Limited, Microsoft Ireland Operations Limited, and Oracle Corporation UK Limited were named. Then, on July 13th, the Critical Third Parties Designation Regulations 2026 came into effect, putting these four major cloud providers under the direct oversight of the Bank of England, the Prudential Regulation Authority, and the Financial Conduct Authority for their resilience. For the first time, UK financial regulators can look directly at a hyperscaler's resilience rather than solely at their supervised firm's contracts.
That's a significant jurisdictional shift. And for those in California, there's a critical privacy deadline approaching quickly.
Yes, under the California Delete Act and its Delete Request and Opt-Out Platform, or DROP, implementing regulations, registered data brokers must begin processing consumer deletion requests from August 1. They must do so at least once every 45 days thereafter. The penalty for missing a deletion request is $200 per day per request, plus investigation and administrative costs. Over 300,000 Californians had signed up for DROP as of June 2, so the first cycle will not be a token volume.
What's the action item for data brokers there? Confirm your DROP account and hashing pipeline work end-to-end in the sandbox this week. Then diarize that 45-day reporting cycle from August 1st. Building this late will be challenging.
Finally, let's touch on artificial intelligence governance, both in the EU and China. For the European Union, providers and deployers of generative AI systems subject to Article 50, paragraphs 2 and 4, must submit the completed signatory form for the EU Transparency Code of Practice by July 22nd, 6 p.m. Central European Summer Time. While signing is possible after this window, inclusion in that initial list published ahead of the August 2 marking and labeling obligations requires submission by Wednesday. In China, the Cyberspace Administration of China Order No. 21 took effect on July 15th. It binds services simulating a natural person's personality in continuous emotional interaction, such as companionship or emotional care. Importantly, intelligent customer service, question and answer services, work assistants, and education services are expressly out of scope if they lack that continuous emotional element.
A lot to keep track of this week, Sarah. Could you quickly recap the top three immediate actions our listeners should take?
Certainly, Alex. First, if you're a U.S. defense contractor, check every active Department of Defense solicitation for Level 2 C3 PAO designations. Contracting officers must strip them out, but you need to confirm this. And keep your NIST SP 800-171 Revision 2 self-assessment and DFARS 252.204-7012 duties unchanged. Second, for California data brokers, test your DROP deletion pipeline in the sandbox before August 1. And third, if you're an AI provider or deployer in the EU, email the EU Transparency Code signatory form to the AI office before July 22nd, 6 p.m. Central European Summer Time.
Excellent advice, Sarah. That's all the time we have for this week's Cyber IQ Weekly. Thank you, Sarah, for breaking down these complex issues for us.
My pleasure, Alex.
And thank you for listening. For full details, links to original sources, and our complete brief, be sure to subscribe to the Cyber IQ newsletter. We'll be back next week with more actionable regulatory intelligence.